Hi, Leslie. Barbara.
How are you tonight?
Good, and you?
Yeah, it's good to see you.
And you too. It's
been a long time.
Kind of a wild day too.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. But thankful for the rain.
When the video went on, I didn't realize I took kind of a walk out in it. I didn't realize how wild I'd gotten.
Your hair looks fine.
You should have seen it when it first popped on before. I said, it's a good thing I was the first one on.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. This is John connecting, but it's Chris. Hello, Chris. You must be muted, Chris.
How about now?
Beautiful. We can hear you.
All right.
And Leslie is on. She's going to take care of the meeting, the clerking. And Leslie, this is Chris Colville who's on.
Okay.
Even though it says John DiDullo, you'll have to get that updated.
Okay. Sorry, it's actually Cameron Colville.
Cameron.
What did I just say?
Chris. Oh my God. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Cameron. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
And
I'm
no worries.
How do you spell your last name, Cameron?
Covill. I'm gonna rename myself here anyways.
That'll be good.
Are you on the commission?
There we go.
He's the new me. He's the 2.0 improved version of me.
Gotcha. No, he's just a Zoom bomber.
Yeah.
Hi, Ross.
You look very magenta.
Yeah, let me just see what the light's doing here.
So that's why I play with all my lighting off screen and nobody knows what I've done.
I still am a little bit pink.
But... yes, I think you're getting overwhelmed by the outside light. I'm going to be right back. I'm just going to get my tea. Do you know if Jim is going to be joining us?
I assume so. I did not hear that anyone was not.
Andy is not. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, then we do need.
Yeah, Andy's again taking care of his mother. So hopefully Mr. Jim will be joining us shortly. Otherwise, we may need to do a special meeting just for the purpose of dealing with this one application when we can get everybody, be here.
Do you want me to? Okay, I guess we're 2 minutes of it. Shall I call Jim's cell to make sure?
If you could, I'll be right back. I'm just going to go get some, get my tea. So I will be right back.
Okay.
Any luck, Barbara?
Hi, Ross. No luck. I tried three numbers there, so he usually would let us know.
Yeah, and I didn't see anything.
So maybe we will hear.
Let me just double check my email again. I did not see anything saying he would not be here. So let me go back to my inbox. I don't see anything there, and I had looked in junk just in case it went there. Let me look again. Nope, I do not see anything from him.
Yeah. Ross, I just did the same.
Here he is. Here is Jim.
Sorry, I'm being a little late.
No, you had us scared for a second, but you got here.
Yep, yes.
I'm here.
Ignore the messages from me that are all surrounding you, Jim.
Oh, I feel so important.
Well, you are, because Andy's got to take care of his mother tonight. He's having trouble getting some coverage. She's back in the hospital, and he's having trouble with getting additional coverage between himself. Just you're getting all the primary colors with you and Barbara, Jim. It's like you got the you've got the yellow. She's got the magenta.
I'm here. What can I say? I'm broadcasting from Weld, Maine, so I'm still here.
Oh, all right.
Oh, all right. Where we all wish we were. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Well, at least it's raining here, though I don't know if Mr. Barger will be happy with that for what he's proposing, but we did need the rain.
All right.
I got a light rain here, too.
So why don't we get started, and I will appoint David as a seated member tonight. He's our alternate, so he will be seated as a voting member tonight.
And welcome,
Dave. Thanks. I'm here.
And then I will mention ask for a motion to approve the agenda as is.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, then let's do a roll call vote. David?
Aye. Aye.
Jim?
Aye.
Ross? Aye. And it's passed. Let's go on to public comment. I don't see any public here unless Rich wants to make any comments as a representative of the public. He's looking like he doesn't, either that he's muted, so we don't know. But then let's go on to no old business. So we'll go on to new business, a jurisdictional ruling for 87 Brandy Street, restoration of two existing farm ponds. So I don't know, Barbara, whether you or Richard were going to do the dog and pony introduction or whatever.
Rick?
I vote for Barbara.
I'm happy. I cheated in and sat in on their discussion, so I want to see if he can say the same thing that they did while I was there.
I'm happy.
All right. What do you want? Okay. Yeah. Well, Rich, maybe you can introduce the project, and because it's really your application, while I'll go and I'll try to open up the documents so I'll be able to screen share.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, I'm Richard Barger, and good evening, everyone. about 2-3 years ago, we purchased some property across the street from where we live now. We moved out of the old farmhouse in the center of town and down to a 1,700 square foot ranch, one story, which is nice. Anyway, realtor sign went up on the this Brondolo farm across the street. And as some of you know, I've been pretty active in the open space committee. I was the first chairman. I've been on the board, started the...
Now you froze, Richard, so I don't know how much you're gonna need to repeat.
We're about 95% there. It's been approved by the Connecticut Farmland Trust. They've sent it to the NRCS for their blessing. They have 90 days to decide what they're going to do. The paperwork or the final report went to them on the end of June. So we expect, July, August, September. By the end of September, we'll have their blessing, everybody assumes. They are a participant financially. The Connecticut Farmland Trust is a participant, and I am a participant. By way of a donation. So there's three parties that are going to make it happen, actually. We gave you a cover just to kind of show you the report that was filed with NRCS to let you know that that's in the works. The cover page of that, Barbara can show you that. And then we also have worked out the conservation easement. When the development rights are sold or donated or whatever, to the Farmland Trust, the property can never be used for development. It only can only be used for farming. And that was the goal. And it looks like we're pretty optimistic it's going to happen in October at the latest. So that's the background. On this property, which was farmed by Giulio Brondolo for many years, probably 50 or 60, there are two farm ponds, which I think are integral to the farming operation. Or could be even more so if someone came in that needed to irrigate. Larry Pease irrigates his strawberries from his pond over there. Larry Pease currently just uses this property and has for 30 years for cutting hay, which interestingly enough, stays in Bolton. It goes from this field in a hay wagon over to the horse farm on Route 85. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
I will try to share screen.
And if you can't, I can share mine.
Okay. Ross, you're at the Hoover Dam. Is that where you are?
Oh, that's not quite where I am now, but that's where I was, yes. And there was way more water if you're looking in the background, even though you can see a bathtub ring. I think the bathtub ring is way higher now.
Oh, yeah. It's a sad story, really.
I know.
So the ponds have, I'll just finish my 2-minute speech. The ponds have never been, I don't think, restored. The northern one is filled in quite a bit with silt. And there was a lot of phragmites. There was like 30 feet of phragmites to the to the north end of the North Pond. And Mr. Snarsky killed 95% of it. He's Richard Snarsky's a wetlands expert. He sprays stuff for deep and things like that. And so we think we've got that, you know, under control, but the pond is pretty well silted in. I sent a picture.
Did the screen share come up?
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, so the ponds need help, and that's why we're here. I guess it's a jurisdictional issue for this commission, to the extent that if it is a farm pond, and it's and the action of the restoration of the pond is not going to impact wetlands, then I think we're looking for a ruling from the commission that as a farm pond, the Wetlands Commission does not have jurisdiction. They can be restored.
So. Okay, so I'll run up and down a couple things. That were provided. This is the front page of the documentation report that was done on the farm project for the trust. There also is an easement that's in the process of being put in place, 37 pages from what I hear tell. A picture looking across the northernmost farm pond, looking kind of toward the north there.
So that's showing the current state with the dead phragmites around it and indicating the need for, you got to do something to restore this if you want to use it for irrigation.
Yes. A fairly defined edge. You can see the trees at the top, kind of the edge. They ring the south and the east side of the pond. It's more open field area to the north and the west. That's just an aerial locating the property. This is the aerial of the piece, Loomis, Brandy. There's two ponds. That northern one with the phragmites is the one still covered in ice here. It's more shallow. The other one is a bit deeper, so it'll require a little bit less work. But they have been farm ponds going back many years. The soil mapping, essentially the areas really that are currently hayed, which really are along Loomis Road, and then south of the farm ponds in this area and up the hill are uplands. This area between the ponds and the road, somewhat wetland soils. So I've been out there, I've talked to Rich, you know, letting him know a concern, you know, the material that comes out of the pond should not be put in what's potentially wetland, but should be spread on the upland fields.
And the reason for that is to not have the phragmites reestablish itself in a new location, correct?
That's one part, and the other part would be it would have the effect essentially of filling wetlands otherwise. So, okay, and then I thought, hold on, if I click to a different screen, what will happen? Will I have to stop sharing and reshare, or?
It depends on how you shared, so why don't you do it, see what happens.
Do you see now, yep. You see a plan now?
Yep.
Oh, good. All right. So this plan shows roughly the size of the two ponds, dimension-wise, 50 by 40 and 60 by 40. That northern, more shallow one is going to be excavated, what, maybe 4 or 5 feet?
The contractor said something like he should be able to get 2 feet of silt out of that.
The northern, or more out of the southern one, I thought 2 feet.
The upper one has more silt, I think, is what he stepped into the edge. He thought he was on a.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And his foot went down about, you know, a foot and a half.
So.
Yeah. So he says there's a fair amount of silt there that, you know, probably 50 years worth of silt.
So the excavation for the farm pond would be a total of between 300 and 350 cubic yards of material.
For both ponds. That's
both ponds together.
Right.
And then dried excavated material to be spread around as we designated these farm fields that are upland farm fields.
Mm-hmm.
So the material that got provided shows, oops, I didn't want to go there. Sorry, let me go back. The material, you know, shows it's an agricultural use and it's going to maintain and be an agricultural use in perpetuity. And then the concern is looking at our definition. And the reason I asked for the amounts of material and the disposition is we have to be sure that none of the things that would have been, you know, the filling or the alteration, you know, of a wetland other than the farm pond was involved. And that'll be placed in the upland. So I think that was the end of that bit of detail, I think. Then throw it out for questions.
So to summarize, this area of land is hopefully to become, you know, have its development rights sold, be established for use only as farmland under all of these various, you know, document, you know, procedures. And then the request is then if this is farmland and you need to use those ponds as a farming activity, you know, to provide irrigation, then there, I guess the ask is this activity exempt then? Because it's, you know, directly related to providing ponds that would be used for irrigation. And it looks like there's no roads or anything that are being created that, you know, in order to do this, you know, dredging, it's all just going to stay fields around it, correct?
Correct.
And you can see there's some flow through this wetland portion here. and then the ponds can spill over. There's a channel here through this tree line for the drainage. So if the ponds are overly full, it spills down there, you know, toward the brook here in the woods, just off property.
And the likelihood of their getting overly full should be less because they will have higher capacity, I presume, correct?
Well, it's probably sort of similar relating to the groundwater.
Oh, okay.
Groundwater level.
Yep. So the groundwater level will be the same height regardless of how big you make the pond. So that doesn't
how deep below the level of the groundwater.
Okay. Thank you.
So do you need me to go and pull up that page of our regs for the farming exemption? Or
if you want, I have it here.
Okay, good. You want to do the screen? Want me to stop sharing and you?
Well, no, I just have it in my book. I don't have it online, and so it just says this is section 4.1. Following operations and uses shall be permitted in inland wetlands and water courses as of right. And 4.1 states grazing, farming, nurseries, gardening, harvesting of crops, and farm ponds of 3 acres or less essential to farming. Farming operation and activities conducted by or under the authority of the DEEP, or blah, blah, blah. So this counts as an agricultural use, you know, potentially as an agricultural use. And so it's basically, it says if you do this kind of work, it's to, you know, they are, you know, permitted as of right. So they're not part of anything that we would we would need to permit.
Yes, it's the maintenance of existing farm ponds.
Yep.
Unless one of those exemptions. And it doesn't involve any of the things that are the buts, which was the building of the road, the mining of material, the altering of the stream course.
Yeah. Reclamation.
Or the or the erection of structures that are.
And we're not not filling or reclaiming wetlands or water courses. So again, that's why you're putting one of the reasons you're putting the excavated material is going to go up on, you know, uplands again, is to avoid filling or reclamation. So anything, Jim or David, that you would like to ask about?
It looks pretty straightforward, but I don't see any real issues.
Same here, but I just had a question. How are they going to move the silted material from the pond to the perimeter where they want to dump it? They going to put it in a truck and haul it out there? They're going to
use no. So Jim, good question. I thought about that too. So the plan now is partly because of economic issues, the material will be piled somewhat adjacent to the ponds in the driest areas, and it will be allowed to dry. Once it's dried, I'm getting better with my 15-year-old Kubota, and it's going to be my job to spread it. I think that's probably doable, because I talked to another contractor who dug the pond for the Morgan Horse Farm down on Hebron Road. They didn't dig it, he restored it rather. And then the young man who lives there had a tractor smaller than mine, and he was able to, and that's a very large pond. You guys know what I'm talking about now? The Morgan Farm down on the south end of town, before you get to Webster Lane, it's on the right, the old house there.
Yes.
Okay, so that pond in the back, if you've noticed that, that pond's quite a bit bigger than these two ponds. This fellow restored those. He's another fellow that looked at my project, has not given me a price, so I'm not gonna use him. He said he dug, you know, restored it by excavating, making piles, a separate pile for silt, a separate pile for gravel. The gravel pile will obviously dry more quickly and can be spread sooner than the silt pile, which is gonna take longer to dry out. But once it's dry, then it will be spread as we've discussed. And I'm gonna do that myself.
And really the place for that is more toward this western side, more upland?
I think, yes. The western side, west of the pond right there, to the north of the tree line that's nice firm ground there. And as you move to the west, that's the area where we don't want to get too far into the fields, but he's going to use common sense. His excavator will reach 35 feet. It's a 1-yard bucket. The fellow that I'm going to be having do the work. His name is Alan La Liberté. He's from Marlboro. He's just a recently retired Manchester fireman. He's done some work in town here. With a really small excavator, he got my 1,000-gallon oil tank out of behind the old house before we moved. And I think he did some digging in the house across from the town clerk for another retired fireman who just put up a new garage. So he's worked in town. He's a solid, solid guy, very careful guy. so that's the plan.
And I make a motion that we permit this as a permitted use of right.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Then hearing no discussion, I'll do a vote on the proposal that we find this an activity permitted as of right under 14, under section 4.1A of our inland wetlands regulations regarding agricultural exemptions. So I'll do a roll call vote. Dave.
Aye.
Jim.
Aye.
Ross. Aye. So the motion passes unanimously that we find this to be a it's basically a non-regulated use. It's permitted as of right under 4.1A of our regs.
All right, and Attorney Barker, we will get a letter to that effect out probably on Thursday.
Thank you. Thank you.
I won't be in the town hall tomorrow. So.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate the thorough manner in which this was reviewed and discussed. And Barbara was very thorough in coming out and walking the property and so forth. So appreciate all that attention to this little matter. You guys aren't going to be talking about 65 Shoddy Mill Road at all tonight. Is that correct?
Was that going to be under your wetland agent report, Barbara? Any updates on that?
It would be, but you know, if we could, do you want to include a little bit of the wetland agent report at this moment to hear it directly?
If you want to, we could do another, you know, motion to amend the agenda at this point to move the section of move discussion about 26 Shoddy Mill Road to be 56. Under, you know, next item.
Yeah, because
since we have Attorney Barger here, it would be a good thing to talk about.
So moved.
And it's 56.
No, 65. It's 65.
Or 65. I'm sorry about 65. That.
It's my audio dyslexia, whatever.
So
I just want to finish with the motion. So I got a motion in there to move this up. So do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Then let's do a quick vote. Jim.
Aye.
Dave.
Aye.
Ross. Aye. So now we can talk about 65 Shoddy Mill.
So really, the town attorney has been doing, you know, follow-up to encourage progress to be made on the restoration. I don't know what you want to comment about that.
Well, I'm sure, well, maybe you're not all aware, but there's two court judgments. I won't get into a lot of detail against the owner of the property. That have to do with an illegal driveway cut that Mr. Gromega made, and the storage of 30 vehicles, mostly, I think they're all unregistered. But the big one was the filling of the wetlands, which was determined to be approximately a half acre. And there was expert testimony by Joe Dillon and Mr. Snarski, as a matter of fact, about what was required to remedy that violation. And that's kind of where I was curious as to whether or not Barbara had heard anything from Mr. Snarski yet, because he has now been hired by.
He has, okay.
Yeah. I thought maybe you knew that or.
No, I had no update past the fact that you were nudging the attorneys for the property to make something happen.
Right. I wrote him and said the selectmen were putting a lot of pressure on me to have this judgment enforced. Are they going to move on it? And they said, well, we've contacted our proposed inland wetlands agent, and he can't look at it for 60 days. And that's when Jim Rupert suggested that maybe we could suggest that they use Rich Snarski, who was our expert. And he said he'd talk to you, Barbara, and you guys had agreed that that would be okay. They contacted Rich, and he said, "Yeah, I'll work with you." And so that was last week. And the letter I wrote to him, which I copied you on, said, "You know, you've got to keep Barbara Kelly up to date on all issues and progress and so forth and so on. And if in your absence, Jim Rupert, and that you have to follow the plan that you testified to previously."
Okay.
So I was really asking whether or not you'd heard from him yet. Apparently not.
No. Now let me just I don't have those. I don't have those emails. Let me wait.
I see one from me.
There is one. There it is. Okay. I had been having trouble. I just got a new link to get to this email today.
I guess both those, all three of those emails are sort of related.
Okay, but none of them are from Rich Snarsky yet.
No, they're not. But he asked me when I spoke with him whether or not we could provide him with a copy of his report, which I thought was kind of interesting. But then he said, you know, I'm in the field 7 days a week. And so I'm going to send him a copy of the exhibits that we had entered into court. And I'll do that tomorrow.
Okay. And after this meeting, I can forward this to Joe Dillon too, to see, he may have some other information that will help him.
So it sounds like the plan would be to have Rich work for the work with the attorneys for 65 Shoddy Mill Road to make sure that the agreed upon plan gets done.
That's correct.
Yes. He had given a general estimate. So I guess he'll confirm just what will be involved with that and they'll arrange to execute it. That's what they'll really need to do.
Which is what one hopes.
Ah, very good.
Is that a question, Ross?
No, I said that's what one hopes. Is that?
Right. I didn't hear that. Okay.
No, I said just basically that, you know, this is what one hopes, that just because he's working with them doesn't always mean that they will actually do something, even though they now have someone there who can help them do it. So I'm just saying, hopefully they will do what they've agreed to.
Yeah, we had it on this on the site meeting, Barbara, Jim Rupert, and myself, and the trustee of the Gramenga Trust, which was the trust was set up by Mike Gramenga's father. You probably know that Mike Gramenga has been in jail for probably close to a year.
Yep.
And they were waiting for him to call. He calls the trustee, this fellow John Laria from East Hartford, regularly. And then John tells him what's going on with the property. And John was kind of waiting for him to call from jail. And he never called. And that's why they dragged it for about a month. And then I wrote the letter saying, oh, you got to do something. I'm under a lot of pressure. And then that got this ball rolling again. So in the meantime, it's a $100 a day fine. They owe about $85,000.
Yeah.
Oh, probably about $90,000 now. So there's some incentive for them to do something. But thank you for that, Barbara. I thought maybe you had already kind of
got it. I hadn't had any, you know, direct contact with Rich Snarsky. And
I'll nudge that along a little bit too. That's my job, I think, at this point. Okay.
Well, again, thank you for doing that, because I know it's been quite the challenge, to put it politically correctly, for everybody involved.
Thank you. There is some surety on the land records. Is that?
We've got judgments. We've got judgments on the land records that reflect the $100 a day. And we collected $65,000 in back taxes and attorney's fees about 4 or 5 months ago. So the trustee does have some funds. He just was reluctant to do something that Mike Gramenga would go nuts about, because he apparently is a beneficiary of the trust. And there's, you know, it's a sad situation. There are four kids involved. There's two of them are with a foster home, and another two with a foster home. And the parents wanted to adopt them because they're good kids, apparently. And yet they're afraid to do so, because if he gets out of prison, he's been such a crazy person that they didn't want to go ahead with that. So there's a lot of wrinkles, a lot of tentacles to this problem. But if you've not seen the backyard, it's absolutely, it's just unbelievable, really, the amount of equipment that's there. There's two tractor trailers back there.
Oh, and other things, and things leaking and so forth. Yeah. So if we keep the focus really for the purposes of this meeting and everything on the wetlands, it's the concern of the fill material.
You know, and really, all those vehicles that are leaking and doing things that they should be doing,
all the
water
tank. Right. So that the judgment for the vehicles really was related more through the planning and zoning piece, but their concurrent removal is definitely going to be something that's needed to protect the wetlands.
Well, it protects the wetland, the general water table in there, because as we all know, oil and gasoline and such like that diffuses quite rapidly into a water table and is then hard to get rid of.
Yeah. So that is where that stands. So we're hopeful that there will be, some closure on it as long as it's restored and it stays restored.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you for letting me hear that. I appreciate that, Barbara. I'm giving the opportunity to share what I know. With that, I think I'm going to sign off and say thank you again.
All right. Thank you. Right.
Well, thank you for all you prepared for this. So.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
So do you want to continue with your part of the wetlands agent stuff while we're at it? And then that'll be a nice segue into what was 4B.
Yes. So you may have noticed Cameron Colville is on the website as well. And he is a new young person at the North Central Conservation District. And he is going to be assuming, hopefully, my role in Bolton. So we're making some transitions take place now. And maybe he can give you a little bit of his background. He's done this type of work in Massachusetts. So he's certified himself for wetlands regulatory work in Connecticut and some things like that. But maybe he can talk to you a little bit about some of the things he's done. And right now, we're working on getting him Bolton emails and access to the building and having files set up and that type of thing. So, Cameron?
Yeah. All right. Thank you. So as she was mentioning, I do have some experience out in Massachusetts doing this type of work. I worked for the town of Bouchertown with their Conservation Commission, which in Massachusetts is also their inland wetlands agency. I worked there as internship, and then that turned into a paid secretary position. And I did that through the pandemic, the beginning, since we're still in it. Then I went over to Nantucket, Massachusetts, and got some more field work, working for the town's land bank. And so that was a lot of property management, invasive species control, that sort of thing. And then permitting on the opposite side to apply to that town's conservation commission. And so we would prepare our wetlands reports and do more field-based delineations and such to then prepare for the town. Then after that, worked for the Connecticut Wildlife Division with the Hunter Safety Program. And then right before this job, worked with Northwest Park as a environmental educator for the Camp Foxfire, which is run by the town. So sort of a, bounce around seasonal lifestyle up until now. And so looking forward to providing my input and expertise, what limited I have, to the Bolton. Yeah, thank you.
All right. So I'm looking to provide my expertise to tromping around in the woods. So I'm delighted to have Cameron on board, and we'll be working together, to make sure there's good solid transition. And once that transition happens, I would still be around or available to the district to, if needed. And I definitely think I'll be involved on the Shoddy Mill Road matter, I think, until that's concluded. I think I know that I will be involved in that. Pardon?
I was going to say that when we were talking the other day, we were looking at this transition, you know, as you described it, to be completed by the end of this year.
So, with an ever increasing role for Cameron.
So do we need to take yes. official action to designate him as our agent?
So I think, yeah, I had been designated as the agent. I think that can remain valid. I won't resign from that. But I think if you made, you know, you saw fit to make Cameron also a wetland agent on the behalf of the commission, then he could act, you know, and do the types of things I could. He'll be able to, you know, sign off, you know, issue the letters, draft permits if you want to delegate them and that type of thing.
So do we have any questions before I entertain a motion to designate Cameron an agent of the commission? No thrill. No, I mean, we should like have at least a rousing like cheer to welcome him.
That would be good.
You guys are like so quiet. It's like, oh, I just don't know what's going on in your heads. It's like shock. Barbara's actually leaving. She's actually carrying out her retirement plans.
I know. I said this was going to start when I turned 62, and I'm turning 69 this fall. So I've been. Mm-hmm. Jim Lorsch has been hearing me talk about this for a while. So,
as have I. So it's like time you actually do it.
Well, this is a real chance for you to get someone rolling. Okay. It's still, he'll be acting as the agent. He's still an employee of the district, and the contract is still between the town and the district to provide the level of service. So.
Okay, so then in that case, I will entertain a motion to appoint Cameron as an agent to the Bolton Inland Wetlands Commission.
So moved.
Okay, I have a second. So then any further discussion? Then do a roll call vote. All those in favor, Dave.
Aye.
Jim.
Aye.
Ross. Aye. So it passes unanimously. We now have, I like to say, 1.5 or 1 3/4 agents.
I think you legitimately like have 2.
For the moment. Then it's going to start becoming 1 3/4, 1.5.
Yeah.
And hopefully the fraction will be Barbara and not Cameron, because we scared the you know what out of him and he's trying to get out of here. So related to the wetlands report, Cameron and Barbara and I are going to be traipsing around Yukon on Friday. I don't know if anybody else signed up for that wetlands and forestry class, because it's kind of related to the stuff we've had come before us with these very various agricultural, you know, jurisdictional determinations. I think there's still time with the other two classes that are out at Goodwin. Are they still open? Because I know the one of them for the Yukon is passed and the other one is closed.
Yeah, I don't know if they're still open.
So did you have anything else for the wetlands agent report, Barbara, or are we all done?
The only other thing to just be aware, and we'll be wrapping it up, that the town had what they called a codification project going on. It kicked off, I think, over a year ago, then hit a back burner, and it's back rolling again. And it's part of where the town is going to take the ordinances plus its various regulations, including the wetlands regulations, and roll them into one code for the town.
It's a big electronic document, correct? That will be online.
Online, printed, both.
Yeah.
What exact format? I hope it'll have a good index and way of accessing it.
Yes, Barbara and I went through the changes that they were asking, proposing for the inland wetlands regulations. And Barbara and I really didn't have any problem with them. They were really just eliminating duplication. So for example, you would define things in more than one place and the definitions would be slightly different, or a process would be repeated in two places and be slightly different, or the wording used in our documents differed a little bit from another town document. And it, you know, it's stuff like that that didn't really matter and would just make the make our regulations all, you know, that much clearer, you know, remove some ambiguity, or where you might have, you know, like some confusion caused by slightly different wording in two places. It makes it easier to maintain and, you know, going forward.
And in a lot of cases, we accepted their suggestions, and in some, we slightly modified it to make it clear. If anyone's interested in particular things, I think there were probably a dozen or so changes. And it's not yet clear exactly. Right now, the project goes up to a point where there's a document. How it gets adopted and how that integrates with how our regs say we update our regs with the public hearing and so forth. There's some very specific things that are in our regulations and are on the DEEP website. So we'll have, that's to be resolved. We don't have answers on that yet. It's kind of step one, and then once the town has the completed document, then they'll see what do they have to do to enact the cleaned up document.
So just thinking of that too, if there's anything that really jumps out at any of the commissioners as, you know, additional that we should update or correct in our regs, this would be a good time to do it as well, so that it's one and done. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have anything for the, you know, changes to the regs other than some of the stuff that they had mentioned, because I pretty much, when we did these, took the model regs that the state had done as is, and some of the things that Barbara and I, you know, discussed that the town wanted to change were things I had noticed but didn't have time to do anything with it, you know, when we did this, like, was it 7 years ago now?
Yeah, I can't believe it was 2015, but it was.
Yep. And I think the only one that they still have some discussion on was like the imposition of fees and fines and such, that, you know, the selectmen didn't want to do such when we first talked about that, when we were talking about upgrading, you know, updating the regs. They had wanted to be able to impose, you know, summons and stuff like that, violations, like writing a traffic ticket type of thing. And then I told them that, yeah, that's a good thing. But then I said, the flip side of that is you have to have some sort of administrative, you know, redress of that, so that if somebody's not happy with getting a citation, they have to have some way of appealing it, mm-hmm. you know, out of fairness. And so, you know, what would that process look like? Would they come to the commission? And if that didn't give them satisfaction, would they go to the selectmen? You know, what would that process look like? And that's when the selectmen didn't want to really bother with that other part of it. They liked the idea of getting the money, but the part of having to deal with setting up some sort of administrative procedures for redress of, you know, grievances and such, you know, they didn't want to, you know, deal with it at the time. So that's still, you know, open for further discussion. Again, it'll be what, you know, what do the selectmen have, you know, tolerance for?
Because that process would work for zoning violations and things like that as well. So
yeah,
we just said, if we're going to, this is in here, it's in the model regs, it's
Well, that is true, because it all could just be a land use violations process, you know, land use, including planning and zoning and inland wetlands. And so therefore, like you said, there could be one administrative procedure that covers it.
Correct. And so I think our response is just establish the procedure.
Yep.
You know, leave the wording that we've got there and complete implementing it. So we have our answers ready. The person that they go to is out of the country right now, I think till the end of this week. So we'll get an input into the system at that point. And that's the last of the big things that we were working on.
All right, then any questions for Barbara? And then we can zip backwards or forward, depending on how you look at it, to approval of the minutes from our July 26th regular meeting.
Yeah.
I move to approve the minutes.
Okay. Any further discussion? Then we'll do a vote again. David?
Aye.
Jim?
Aye.
Ross? Aye. Minutes are approved unanimously. And do we have anything else for discussion under other? And failing that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, then we are adjourned at, depending on which clock I look at, 7:48 or 7:51. I'm going to go by the computer clock instead of my desk clock.
All right.
Good night, well,
thank you, everyone.
Thanks. And thanks for coming in from Maine, Jim.
No, no problem.
Yes. All right. Bye. So we will do this again September, assuming there's something on the agenda that we have to do. Which would actually be good so that Cameron can see what we do and don't do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. See you guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. Looking forward to working with everyone.
Thanks, Barb.